prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday, and we are launching the day and the week with an amazing show. We're going to be joined by Dr. Hypertrophy himself, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, to talk about the science of building muscle. We're going to update you on many of the studies that he's been publishing and how you can benefit from this information. And then a little bit later in the show, around the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by a listener who has a story to share. And we'll just keep it a secret until then. Just want to thank our title sponsor, All-American EFX and All-American Pharmaceuticals. Go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about them. But without further ado, I almost feel like he should have his own intro music, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Carl. Always great to be back.
Yes. And so, you know, I don't think there is anybody, and I say this with all due respect to the scientific community that we are all so fortunate to rub elbows with. Within this physical culture community. But I don't think there's anybody who has done the narrowly focused research that you have done in pretty much exclusively the area of hypertrophy. And I know you deviate a little bit. You did the study once about fasted cardio versus fed state cardio. But, I mean, really, your love and your passion is getting down to the lowest common denominator of what ultimately builds muscle. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, body composition overall is my focus, but I have a particular focus in muscle hypertrophy and muscle growth. And yeah, and specifically also the variables. I haven't done much in basic research looking at hormones and other things in test tubes doing in vitro work. It's mostly really applied research on different variables is my primary focus. So it's looking at rest intervals and frequency of training, repetitions, all the things that go into creating routines and what optimizes those components to bring about maximal hypertrophy.
But, you know, and I mean, if you hear smooching and you feel your ass getting a little damp, I mean, isn't that really what is most important? I'm not taking away from the research that's done in vitro. You know, when we look at these molecules, these hormones, these actions, and they don't always translate to anything in the human body. But more importantly, a lot of that stuff is hard to create an action plan around, right? So how do you take some of that science and integrate it into what you're doing? What you do, it's actually actionable type stuff, like, oh, this rep range, this rest period. These are things that people can take and use.
Well, that's absolutely true, specifically, that what you see in vitro or mechanistically doesn't necessarily translate into long-term results. I mean, just the acute protein synthetic response, the acute effect on muscle protein synthesis of, let's say, taking in protein or doing different types of resistance training routines, studies have shown they don't necessarily correlate to what happens over the long term. But that said, having a fundamental understanding of the mechanisms really is essential to furthering our understanding of how things can potentially work in the gym, and that ultimately fuels a lot of my research. It guides me in terms of doing practical research and understanding, well, maybe I want to manipulate this variable because this has been shown to work. So they are very, in my opinion, synergistic.
Right.
Although, from a practical standpoint, you don't get a lot from understanding that, yeah, the AMPK pathway is upregulated to a greater degree with one type of training versus another.
So what research have you recently published? It's hard to keep up because you really are producing an amazing body of work right now.
Yeah, I have several studies. I mean, since the last time we talked, which has been a while, I have a number of studies which have been published. Most recently, I've had two long-term longitudinal studies. One was looking at high reps, so it's 25 to 35 reps versus 8 to 12 reps on muscle hypertrophy and strength. And really every other, these are highly controlled studies, so we looked at just varying the repetition range while keeping the rest intervals, the number of sets. Everything else in the routine was the same, the number of exercises. And we had an 8-week routine where we had two groups, so well-trained subjects. They had over 4 years resistance training experience. We took them through hard training. Every set was taken to muscle failure, and we really pushed these guys. And after the 8-week period, there was no significant differences in muscle growth in the biceps, triceps, or quads. So it really was quite an interesting study because, you know, I by the way, I'll just take a step back. I did a meta-analysis, which was published, I think it was December of last year, so fairly recently, and we looked at all the relevant data up to that point, which had been published. And this was along with my colleague James Krieger, as well as Dan Ogborn, who is another terrific scientist. And we looked at basically all the research that had been done on low repetition, so below 60% 1RM versus above 65%. And it showed really no differences, no substantial differences in hypertrophy between the two. And I had always attributed this to a newbie effect. So if you take someone who is not well-trained, you can do cardio in those people.
Build muscle.
And they will build muscle from it. So I had discounted, and my hypothesis was, well, we're going to see greater growth in the moderate rep, the hypertrophy rep subjects, because, or the hypertrophy rep group, because they're well-trained, and that the lower intensity exercise, higher rep exercise, would not promote enough of an adaptive response. And my hypothesis was very soundly disproven. So that said, so basically there's a couple of take-homes here. We can, number one, certainly take home the fact that you can build muscle across a very wide spectrum of rep ranges, much greater than what had been previously thought. It had always been said that below 65%, you're not going to build appreciable muscle. That is not the case. Now, that said, there's a couple of things to take into account. Number one, we did not do biopsy work, so we did not localize where this hypertrophy was occurring, specifically type 1 fibers versus type 2 fibers. And for those who don't know, your type 1 fibers are endurance-oriented fibers. They can carry on activity for long periods of time, so they're less fatigable. But they're not supposed to have the same capacity for growth. Certainly, they don't have the same capacity for strength to produce force. And the type 2 fibers are your strength-oriented fibers. And those fibers fatigue very quickly, but they have the capacity to produce greater amounts of force. Well, there is some emerging research out of Russia showing that high rep training, so lighter weights, higher reps, promotes greater type 1 fiber hypertrophy in the endurance-oriented fibers, and your moderate rep training promotes greater type 2 fiber hypertrophy. So this certainly is a hypothetical line of reasoning that I, at this point, subscribe to, and it gives credence to the practical take-home that you want to combine repetition ranges. So you want to train throughout a spectrum, let's say from anywhere from 3 to 5 reps up to 20 to 25 reps, perhaps even more. But I would say if you're doing, I don't think you probably need to go above 20 to 25 reps. But training throughout that spectrum of rep ranges will maximize muscle hypertrophy if your goal is purely to pack on muscle. Now, a couple other interesting things from this study. Number one, the lower repetition group saw much greater strength increases, as you might expect.
Right.
And the higher repetition group saw much greater muscle endurance improvements, as you might expect. So there is this strength-endurance continuum. So if you're training for a functional outcome, certainly you'd want to focus on one versus another. And also one thing that doesn't get brought out in studies most of the time, but training with very high reps is a grueling workout, and roughly half the subjects who undertook the high repetition group, puked within the first week of training, and were really not doing well.
Right.
We had more dropouts in that group, so it really is a grueling type of training. The acidosis, the acidic load that builds up, is hard to take, and you have to be willing to stomach it, especially at the beginning. Your body does start to adjust to it after a while, and most of the subjects after several weeks were fine. But these are things you do need to take into account.
Especially if you're an older adult and cardiovascularly you are somewhat not in peak performance, let's say, you want to go tread lightly into the high rep stuff. There's a lot of good research that was, you know, pretty old that showed that the lower rep stuff, while it may stimulate Valsalva, it didn't put the strain on the heart
that the high rep stuff does, and for obvious reasons. I mean, you're really making a great demand. You're actually bridging that aerobic anaerobic threshold, if you will. And so,
yeah, I mean, you are. You really don't get quite into the aerobic zone. I mean, these sets last about 90 seconds, which is still primarily glycolytic.
Mm-hmm.
But you are correct in that really pushing is certainly from a blood pressure standpoint. It's been shown that training with either very heavy weights and or light weights that are done over repeated periods of time is not good in that respect. So, yeah, there are. Really, my focus has been on what's best for maximizing strength, and obviously, if you're talking about a at-risk population, other considerations are going to come into effect.
Right. Is there any truth to the idea that you can actually influence type 1 and type 2 fibers into converting to one or the other?
Well, there is. First of all, the extent that it happens is very limited. From the evidence I have seen, there is a greater conversion of type 2s to type 1s, and that's brought about primarily through doing, like, ultra and long-distance type of work, not through resistance training in any way that I know. And now converting from 1 to 2 would be through a resistance mechanism. I have not seen really compelling evidence that that happens practically, and if it does, I think it's very, very limited. There is, like I said, it's easier apparently to convert from type 2s to type 1s when you're doing like 2 hours a day of running. And even then, the extent to which it happens seems to be limited to less than 10% of the population.
Is there any evidence that there is a, the newbie factor that you mentioned before? I've always wondered if there's a way to leverage that to slingshot to greater gains so that if you took off maybe a certain number of days or even a week every, let's say, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, you could actually use that newbie effect to your benefit and actually kind of slingshot into greater gains. And is there any evidence that we can leverage that phenomenon?
Well, that's a really interesting question. So there has been some research that's been carried out by a group out of Japan, which did look at something quite similar to that, where they would take intermittent breaks, so basically detrain. And it didn't come out that they saw better results, but actually they did, the hypertrophy you didn't lose anything. So you were able to actually to maintain over time similar amounts of hypertrophy, even though you're detrained. Now, deloading is a common strategy that's employed where you would take a lower volume and lower intensity of effort. That's mostly for rejuvenation. But here's a kind of a different take on that, which I would posit might, and again, this has not been well studied, but
right.
It's the novelty effect. Really, rather than the newbie effect, I call it the novelty effect. And that's another consideration to take into account in this case, in the study that I mentioned, low versus high reps, in that all the people that we had in the study, like I said, there was all well-trained subjects. None reported training with more than, I think it was 12 reps, or maybe one had up to 15 reps, but certainly none were training anywhere near in the repetition range that we were putting them through. So virtually everyone was 12 reps and under. And just the novelty factor that you can make a case that their type 1 fibers were underdeveloped, whereas their type 2 fibers had greater development, and thus they would see this greater growth at the beginning because their fibers, they had a greater ceiling.
Mm.
Now, that could give credence to doing to the typical block periodization type of approach where you're going to take a block of, let's say, 4 weeks of light load training, then 4 weeks of moderate and 4 weeks of heavy load training, so that you're, again, introducing novelty conceivably over that time. Whether that plays out in practice is hypothetical. It's not been studied to... Certainly, to my knowledge, I don't think anyone has done a real good study that's looked at least in those types of blocks where you have the, certainly it's been looked at in blocks where the repetition range is like 10 to 12 and 8 to 10, and so you're having a much narrower focus, and that really doesn't give you a lot of insight into how it happens over much wider loading zones.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to delve into just for a moment some gender specific or gender differences when we talk about hypertrophy, because women are now getting it. They're getting that, you know, muscle is metabolic currency. It's going to help to prolong life. It's going to give them a fuller range of joy in their lives and make them more ambulatory as they age, and even influences bone mineral uptake. And the list goes on and on. And women tend to be better trainers, in my humble opinion, than men, because they leave their ego at the door and they're willing to do what you tell them if you tell them that this is the right way to do it. Am I off base when I make some of those statements, you think? Or
no, you're right, spot on.
So I want to talk about gender-specific hypertrophy training and get into that a little bit. We're talking right now with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. If you want to know how to build muscle, there really is no one out there today that is doing the kind of work that Dr. Brad Schoenfeld is doing. So stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot more. We'll be right back.
From the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld right now. We're talking about building muscle, and the discussion is going to change just ever so slightly as we talk about gender differences, or are there any, and what we can learn from each other, both men and women. So when we talk about building muscle, it seems to, it used to be exclusively a male-dominated discussion, but we have a lot of women out there today who are really as strong as some men when it comes to strength and conditioning type sports, CrossFit, Olympic lifting, and so on. And so they're really interested in this discussion as well. Do they need to look at anything differently, or is it pretty much the same for men as it is for women?
Well, there really are not, as far as programming, not many differences in how you'd want to program, assuming the goals are the same for men versus women. Now, women do have a blunted hypertrophic response. So on a relative basis, meaning a percentage basis, there's actually fairly equal gains seen between men and women, at least in the initial stages of training, meaning that if you're going to initiate a study, you'll see, let's say, 10% gains in muscle mass. However, women are starting out from a much lower baseline, so the actual amount of muscle that they're adding is substantially less. And that's thought to be due to a lack of testosterone primarily. Now, interestingly, estrogen is anabolic. Now, most people don't think of it this way. And most guys, if you tell them they're going to estrogenize, they'll have a fit. But at least in women, estrogen does promote anabolic benefits. And it's one of the reasons why it's perceived, and this has actually been shown pretty clearly in the literature, that during menopause, women actually have a reduced, they have the effects of, the negative effects of losing muscle are greater on women than they are on men. So the loss of testosterone in men, the age-related loss, does not have as great an effect on their loss of muscle as the age-related loss of estrogen does on women. And again, part of this might be due to the fact that women are starting out with less muscle as it is, and thus it's going to have a greater effect, any loss, but there's effects that just the loss of estrogen, the protective anabolic protective effects, have a greater negative effect in women.
And also, estrogen influences lipolysis. It influences fat loss. So when estrogen starts to go down, fat goes up. It could be in response to the body's desire to produce more estrogen, so there's more aromatase. And I don't know about that, but I know that it also influences the leanness that women seem to lose as they start to go through menopause. But just to throw something in that I had no plans on discussing today, but I've been experimenting with progesterone. What people need to, a lot of doctors think that progesterone is exclusively a female hormone when we talk about replacement. Just the way they used to think that testosterone wasn't something you wanted to replace in women. You know, it was all about estrogen. Oh, no, well, testosterone is a male hormone. We're finding out that women need testosterone now. Men have always been relegated to being, oh, they're less complex. Just give them testosterone and send them home. And the reality is that men need more than just testosterone. I've been experimenting with progesterone. I am seeing an increasingly better response in my results from training than I had before. I don't have any, you know, I'm not a scientist. I don't do anything in a way where I can actually say, well, I did this and this is what happened. But I have a suspicion that progesterone has some sort of anabolic response. And why I think that is because one of the things that people fail to realize is that the mother of all anabolic steroids that produce amazing strength gains and muscle gains is trenbolone. And trenbolone is a progestin. I don't think people know that.
I am not familiar with the that research. I've not seen anything on anabolic effects of progesterone, but You very well may be right.
Well, you know what? There's a lot that we still don't know, but that's not what we want to talk about now. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there because I am experimenting with it, and I'm seeing some changes in my body. Now, with that being said, so women train just like men. They can see some of the same responses. Obviously, there are hormonal differences. But is there any evidence that women have more type 1 versus type 2 as a result of the lack of high testosterone levels and the greater strength seen in men, but maybe women have better and a higher rate of endurance type muscle fibers?
Yeah, there are some fiber type specific differences, and that is one of them, and the actual size of the type 1 fibers has been shown in some studies to be larger in women. Now, how these innate, inherent genetic differences affect training is still somewhat equivocal. Could that be a clue towards possibly wanting to train in a higher rep range? Perhaps. Although, again, that has not, fiber type specific training has been theorized, and it does have a logical basis, but I'm not necessarily convinced there's going to be all that great a difference. Mm-hmm. Over time, if you're training, again, if you're using proper hypertrophy training protocols, because you want to tag all the fibers and how, now if you're talking about, again, it would depend upon how much the differences are. So statistically significant differences just means it doesn't happen by chance. I've not seen any research showing that there are, like, women have 90% versus 10%. I mean, you're,
right.
you're talking, it's, the differences are not all that stark from an absolute standpoint. So how that would play out from an actual training standpoint, I don't think it really is that big an issue.
All of your research is kind of a continuum in and of itself. So you're constantly trying to expose the truths about building muscle and changing body composition. From when you started to where you are today, are you proving more of what you thought is accurate, or are you starting to change and be challenged by the results of your research?
Well, I'm certainly starting to be challenged. So some of the things are proving things, or when I say proving, they're leading to the at least conclusions that I would have had assumed. But many others, just like the study I talked about earlier, I never early on thought that there was any real benefit other than for deloading to training with very high reps. And as deloading as well as promoting some metabolic effects for lactate clearance, I would put in short cycles. But as far as from a hypertrophy standpoint, really saw no benefit to it, and I've come really full circle as far as that goes. Another study that I just published, which has caused me at least to rethink some of the training practices, really interesting, and this will ruffle some bodybuilding feathers, but I looked at the typical bro split. It was a three-day-a-week, so basically it was chest, back, and abs one day, legs another day, and then shoulders and arms another day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that was one group. The other group did total body routine. So they did Monday total body, Wednesday total body, Friday total body. The exercises, the number of exercises, exactly the same. Everything about the training protocol was exactly the same, except how it was partitioned across a week. So, for instance, on the chest, they would do, or let's say the legs, for the thighs, they did a squat, a leg press, and a leg extension. Well, the total body routine, the squat, three sets of squat on Monday, three sets of leg press on Wednesday, three sets of leg extensions on Friday. Mm-hmm. And the bro split did the squat, leg press, and leg extension all on Monday, or Wednesday, whatever. They was done on
right.
a different
but
day.
But they had a week then, before they hit it again, in other words.
Correct. So they were training the muscle group once a week versus three times a week for the total body. And the results showed a benefit towards doing total body training.
That's funny. I mean, now it makes sense. Actually, it makes sense.
Well, okay. So yeah. So it's a couple things here. So the time course of protein synthesis is roughly 48 hours. So there at least is a logical basis for saying, well, every 48 hours you want to keep
right.
hitting that muscle again to up your protein synthetic response. Now there is some other contradictory research showing the recuperative ability, so you can't just look at protein synthesis, that there's other signaling factors and that wouldn't necessarily continue over that time. And so again, this is where the acute data, you have to look at it and then say, okay, that's nice, how does this really fit in. But here's the other rub. You talked about the novelty factor before. 16 of the 19 subjects, so there were 19 total subjects in the study, by study's end, 16 of the 19 were doing the bro split, training each muscle one day a week. Could it just be that this was a new stimulus for them doing it 3 days a week and that upped their results? Can't say. And again, it does give credence to saying, well, periodizing your frequency, using again a manipulation of variables so that you're getting, you're continually getting novel responses, because that's why the body adjusts.
Yeah.
Hypertrophy training, why is the body going to get bigger and stronger? Because it needs to do it from a survival standpoint, because there is some type of survival mechanism that the body wants to overcome so that it has a long-term survival, so that your long-term ability to survive is enhanced. And if it keeps getting the same response, there's really no reason to adapt. And
right.
That at least gives credence from a hypothetical standpoint that that's something that does need to be studied.
I want to take a break. And when I come back, I want to talk about there's something going around now. And there was actually a sponsored post on Facebook recently about a guy who wrote an ad about, I don't know if you've seen this already, and maybe it's so obscure that no one knows about it, but he's talking about a training style that's specifically designed to increase the strength of tendons. And he calls it tendon strength training. And it's like, and I'm thinking, look, you know, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I just don't get it. Do you really have to do special type of work just to keep your tendons catching up with the strength of the muscle? I want to just kind of touch on that. Are you cool with that when we come back?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so let's do this. In the meantime, during the break, if you want to learn as much as you can about building muscle, there's really one website to do it, and it is so appropriately named Look Great Naked, because who doesn't want to look great naked? Oh, you? Okay, well, you can stop listening now, but the rest of us, go to lookgreatnaked.com. We'll be right back.
Tried Carbolin yet?
It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
I know you want me, baby. I think I want you too.
I think I love you, baby.
I think I love you too.
Welcome
I need
back.
To save you, girl. Come be in Shady's world. I want to grow together. Let's let our love unfurl.
We're talking with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. You know, his website is lookgreatnaked.com. It says it all right there. Who doesn't want to look great naked? I know I'll be 57 on Thursday, and I want to still look great naked. You know, that never goes away. People lie. They're, oh, no, I'm happy with my body. I know. Nah, you're really not. Let's be honest. Everybody would like to look better, and there's one way to do it, and you can find all the information at lookgreatnaked.com. So what do you think about this? I mean, this is there's so many scams out there, Brad, and I know you have to get a good chuckle when you are on Facebook and you see some of these ads pop up for, for this nonsense, you know, how to add 10 pounds of muscle in 2 weeks. And it's so sad that people fall to that pandering. But you think there's any real validity in training specifically to increase tendon strength?
I know of no way that can be accomplished without, I mean, outside, when you can't separate that from training for the muscularly.
Right.
But certainly when you train a muscle, you're going to also increase tendon strength. But I know of no way that you can just focus on the tendon. Now, I don't know the specific routine that he's employing. I don't like to speak about things when I don't
know
what's being suggested. There might be some electrical stimulation directly. I don't know. And without knowing that, I can't comment specifically. But I will say that I know of no way that you can specifically target tendons.
Isolate the tendon without. One would think. Even a novice like myself, we know that bone mineral uptake will increase and bones will get stronger in the face of muscles that are getting stronger.
Yep.
It's part of the adaptation process. The body goes, these muscles are getting stronger. In order for the bones not to snap under the stress of what torque the muscle can produce, we need to get stronger, the bones meaning. And one would have to believe that soft tissue responds similarly. So as muscles get stronger, tendons get stronger. Now, I will say this, that tendons being predominantly avascular, there is some evidence from research done on soft tissue injuries that it can take as long as a year for soft tissue to repair itself, again, because of the avascular nature of it and so on. And there have been those brotelligent stories about the guy who was doing large amounts of anabolic steroid and his strength increased before his tendon strength increased and he snapped biceps and quads and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, eliminating performance-enhancing drugs from the discussion and just looking at the way the body responds, I would believe that if your muscles get stronger, your tendons get stronger, your bones get stronger.
Correct. Yeah, and you did bring up the anabolic steroids. There is some evidence that that can have specific effects on muscle over tendon, which can leave the tendons at a greater risk for injury. But just in normal, the course of normal training, yeah, you train your muscles and your tendons are going to increase their strength as well.
So connecting the dots for you, right? I mean, if someone said to me, Brad, give me the Reader's Digest version, how should I train if I want the greatest increases in strength and the greatest increases in muscle hypertrophy at the same time, what would you say to them would be kind of like the training plan?
Well, I don't think you train for this both at the same time, because training for strength that for maximal strength, you will get stronger as you get bigger for the most part, and somewhat vice versa. They're not necessarily going to maximize either, because training for maximal hypertrophy requires much higher levels of volume, which if you're going to try to do that to maximize strength, you're going to really burn yourself out. And I showed that in a previous study that I had, I actually was on with you about, where we looked at a powerlifting versus a bodybuilding style routine. So really you do have to separate them. Training for maximal strength does require that you're going to train with lower reps, higher loads, and lower volumes. Because of that, whereas for hypertrophy, the goal is to just in general to push volume, specifically to try to overreach, to functionally overreach, where you're really pushing your volume high to a certain extent without going over. So I kind of I look at it as going to the edge of a cliff without falling over. So you try to keep pushing your volume. Now, if you keep training with very high volumes, you're going to ultimately end up overtrained. So it's a And this is very individual. It's kind of a individual process that needs to be managed over time. You need to understand your own limitations and your own abilities and then go from there. But whatever it is, you want to push yourself to this greater volume state. You want to train throughout a variety of repetition ranges. Increase the frequency of training, to me, is a better way to maximize volume than to just have very long marathon training sessions. So training from, let's say, going from 3 days a week to 4 days a week and then even up to 6 days a week is a good way to keep adding on more volume while keeping the level of what you're doing the same. And within that, there's just so many different ways to go about this, and certainly there's other factors to consider too, like exercise selection, making sure that you're hitting muscle fibers from different angles. And this is where, I mean, we can't just give a cookie cutter prescription in an interview like this. This is where, if you really want to maximize the hypertrophic response, you have to individualize it and you have to look at all these parameters, all the different variables, and manipulating them over a period of time. You can get bigger. I just had a debate in England with a certain individual who promotes doing HIIT and very super slow training, and my response is, doesn't mean you can't see any results from that, but is that going to maximize your response? No, it's not. You need higher volumes. You're going to need to train certainly. If you just train with super slow weights, you're going to have the weights are going to have to be substantially lighter, and you're not going to have the same mechanical tension. So again, these are some of the things where people say, well, it works. Well, anything can work. Is that going to work best? And ultimately, what I study is what's going to optimize results, what's going to work best.
I want to take one last commercial break. When I come back, I want to ask you a question about frequency of block periodized programs. Do they have to be done, change up every 3 months? Can you do them in the same training session or maybe in the same week? I think that would be a really good piece of advice for people out there.
Because it's clear, you know, I've often thought about making one of those, you know, the wheel that you spin for a game, you know, you snap it with your finger and the thing turns around.
Yeah.
I've often thought about making one of those wheels and putting different styles of training in it and then snapping it in the morning and going, okay, that's how I'm going to train today. Because if you want to truly leverage muscle confusion, the best way to do it is for you not even to be aware how you're going to train tomorrow until you show up at the gym. And so, you know, I'm wondering if it's adequate to just like change it up every day. Should you have to train a certain way for at least a week or so? Let's talk about that frequency factor when we come back, okay?
Okay, terrific.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Dr. Brad Schoenfeld.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. Actually, before we talk about frequency for periodization, I just had another thought. If someone is going to do a whole body routine, and this is coming from somebody who tends to be an overdoer, and I probably have been in the overtrained zone more often than I should. And when you do a whole body routine, you do have to take into consideration that you're going to be hitting these muscles multiple times during the week. So you do have to back down somewhere a little bit, right?
Well, when you say back down, you're going to be doing a total body routine, assuming you're doing it as prescribed, taking the 48 hours rest. You're only going to be training three times a week. So it depends how you're structuring it to say you need to back down. I wouldn't necessarily say that like anything. It just depends upon how you're going about the routine.
No, I was assuming that I'm doing it 5 to 6 days a week. Okay, so that answers the question right there. So you're doing it 3 days a week, and so you're giving your body that recovery time that it needs before the next workout.
Well, yeah, and the thought is the reason that a split routine. So here's the other thing to further also on that particular topic. The other thing to be taken into account, and this is why I got to get back on the side of the bros and the bodybuilding community, this doesn't necessarily mean that a split routine is passe. What it's saying is that if you're equating volume, there seems to be a benefit to greater frequency. One of the benefits to doing a split routine is that it allows you to train more frequently. So whereas usually you're going to have to take off every other day if you're going to do a total body, because you don't want to train the same muscle group, at least theoretically, 2 days in a row.
Right.
With a split routine, you could do, let's say, an upper or lower split or split in different ways, and you can do a much greater volume within that week. And there is at least credence to showing, as we talked about before, that higher volumes of training lead to a greater hypertrophic response. So the fact that you don't necessarily need to equate volume does give credence to a potential benefit for a split routine.
If not ignoring type 1 and type 2 fibers will yield the greatest both strength and hypertrophy of muscle, then the frequency of periodized training, you know, becomes a question. Do you really have to do these periodized training programs like they prescribe? A lot of them are like, you do this for 3 months, you do that for 3 months. Can you do it in shorter bouts or even within a single session and still see the benefits of stimulating both type 1 and type 2 fibers?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's multiple different models for periodization. A daily undulating periodization has the classic one will have a heavy day, like Monday is heavy day, Wednesday is moderate day, and Friday is light day, or some iteration of that. So yes, certainly there's different periodized models, and there is no periodization. This is something that really needs to be understood. Periodization is a concept. So periodization is a means to promote a continued response to a given fitness goal without overtraining.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to keep progressing. How that's carried out, we have hypothetical models that have been put into place, but they are not the be-all, end-all. There's nothing that says that this model is the way to do it. And basically, I like to use the analogy that training is a science and an art. So the science tells you that, well, we need to keep the body adapting without pushing it too far, and that's the classic general adaptation syndrome, which was first introduced by Selye many, many years ago. But within that context, the art of training means that, hey, we can propose different models, but it's up to the individual to find out ultimately what works best for them. And when I carry out a research study, this is another thing that's not well appreciated. It's not like when I show that, well, this group got 10% results and this group got 5%, so the group with the 10%, that's a better way to go. What it doesn't show you is that these are averages. and that some people in that 10% group might have gotten no results and other ones might have gotten 25% increases. So that what you have to take from that is that maybe the person that got nothing in that would have done better on a different routine. And the responses are different based upon various genetic factors and lifestyle factors and other things. So we always need to take research in the context by which it is conducted and to understand that an evidence-based approach, and if there's something I can leave everyone with, it's the importance of adopting this evidence-based approach, which is taking the body of research into account, understanding what the research says, but then taking into account your own personal experience as well as the individual needs and abilities of that lifter to ultimately produce, to create a program design that will produce the greatest hypertrophy or whatever fitness component you're trying to bring about. You can't just say, well, research shows this, so this is what we're going to do, because research is not specific to the individual.
What do you think the minimum response time before you assess whether something is working or isn't working that you would feel is prudent? Most people don't want to waste any time, so they end up hopping from one thing to another too soon before they found out whether it was working or not. Are you a two-week guy? Like, try it for 2 weeks and let's look at it then?
You have to define what working is, because, you know, sometimes you have to build towards something. It's not like you necessarily see maximal responses immediately. And the other thing you have to take into account is that when most people are trying to assess themselves, they're doing it in a very haphazard manner. They don't. When I'm conducting a research study, I have an ultrasound that actually measures the thickness of muscle. Most people, they look at themselves in the mirror, and they're trying to determine whether it's working or not. Or going on the scale, which can be a very inaccurate way to look at it, too. So you have to make sure you're gauging it properly, and I would say that generally a four-week period from a hypertrophy standpoint should be kind of a minimum. You're certainly not going to, with conventional means, not see responses before that, if not longer, probably usually even a little longer before you actually start to see visual results.
What do you have going on in the near future? Any upcoming lectures, any market visits? What's going on with Brad Schoenfeld?
Yeah, a ton. So I'm speaking this coming week, actually, in a few days at the ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition in Austin, doing their pre-con. Then I'm speaking in Orlando for the NSCA at their national conference. I then am speaking at the UK Strength and Conditioning Association in England in early August, CanFit Pro later in August in Toronto. And then I have the big three coming up in September and October, which is a Norway conference, which should be really cool, with a lot of other terrific speakers, including Brett Contreras and Alan Aragon and Jacob Wilson and some others. Then Barcelona, Spain, with my buddy Brett Contreras after that, and then finishing up in Brazil in October. So lots of speaking engagements. Hopefully people can come and check it out.
Yeah, and they can find all of your speaking engagements at lookgreatnaked.com.
That is correct. And also, please join me on Facebook or Twitter. I also I have a lot of good fitness information, as well as talking about where I'll be.
And then we can wrap it up. So you went to the UK for this. Have you ever done one of these, what do you want to call it, point-counterpoint type of events before, where you were being challenged and you had to defend your position and your science?
Well, I have in a journal format. So I actually did a point counterpoint with Dr. John Ivey on protein timing, in the Strength and Conditioning Journal, several months ago. But that's a different type of environment. This was the first actual formal debate that I've carried out in person, in a lecture environment.
How was it? I don't care who. If one lost or made the best. So that would unnerve me. I mean, if I knew I was going to have to stand in a podium and kind of do a verbal jousting with somebody, it would unnerve me. How did you feel about it?
Oh, it was a great experience. It was interesting. The crowd was terrific. It was mostly fitness professionals and people, high-level exercisers, so we got into a lot of real hard science. And I must say my opponent, Fred Hahn, was quite the gentleman.
Mutual respect across both, between the two of you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was no acrimony in that respect. I had complete respect for Fred, and although I don't agree really with any of his positions, and I think I produced science to show why they were amiss, He was a complete gentleman, and I thought it went very well, and the audience seemed to really benefit from it.
You know, we need more of that, quite frankly, and but for two reasons. One of the things that I like about scientific discourse is that it's usually cordial, polite, and respectful. There because we're all, a lot of things that we think we know change over time. So it's the people who dig their heels in and go, this is the only truth, end up either having to defend that position forever and it becomes dogma instead of science, or they have to swallow their pride and go, you know, oops, I was wrong, which I have a lot more respect for when they do that. But what you find on a lot of the Facebook posts is there is no cordial scientific discourse with respect for other people's opinions. It's you know, you're an a-hole, you know, and the name calling comes out, and it's tough. So that's why I was curious about how this went over there. This went really good. It was a good experience. You would do it again then?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, social media can really get bogged down in name calling, and I think a lot of times people feel very empowered behind a keyboard when they don't have to face someone in person. That can be a real issue too. And most people aren't scientists, so that's another thing. They have preconceived notions. Any good scientist is curious, they're skeptical, and they're willing to change their positions, as I am.
Right.
So I'm always open to new ideas. Certainly anyone who thinks they know it all needs to go back to the drawing board. They're certainly not a true scientist. I thought this was great. Look, I'm an educator, so my life's work is promoting the dissemination of knowledge and learning myself as well. And I thought that everyone there benefited. There was also another debate. There was one, there was supposed to be two, but the other one was between Alan Aragon and Gary Taubes. And that actually had some more acrimony. It was unfortunate that Gary Taubes did interrupt quite frequently, and in my personal opinion was not quite as cordial as the debate that I had.
Right.
But again, I still thought it was a very beneficial thing for the audience to see two different perspectives, and people who are supposedly knowledgeable in their craft debating a topic with real evidence and not just saying, well, this is my opinion because I do it.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that one went on. I wish I could. Are there tapes of these events that we could buy anywhere?
I believe there will be, yeah. So Richard Levatt was the one who had organized this event and put up. It was a really terrific event, by the way. I mean, it had some terrific speakers. Lane Norton spoke, Brett Contreras spoke, a bunch of very high-level fitness pros presented as well, not in a debate format, but just did presentations.
Right.
And I believe that the seminars are being made available at some point in the near future through Richard. So you can go to the Epic Fitness Summit, and you can just go on Facebook. There is an Epic Fitness Summit Facebook page that you can look at and get more information.
Well, I'm going to pay you a compliment that you'll probably understand, but most people that aren't from New York won't understand. But I think that you're a stand-up guy, and I think that you're constantly providing us with great science that's usable, actionable, and I commend you for that.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's always a pleasure being on your show. I really appreciate your giving me a forum to promote science-based material in hopefully a user-friendly manner.
We'll talk soon, okay, Brad?
Terrific, Carl.
Take care. All right, so we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got a listener coming on who's going to share a story with you that I think may interest some people a great deal. Stay tuned.
Crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. It's always great to have Dr. Brad Schoenfeld on the show. Sometimes you just have to be reminded of this stuff. A lot of the stuff we've talked about with him in the past, but people get sidetracked. They get easily confused and distracted. And so sometimes you just have to revisit this research. Another thing that people do is when the summer months come around, they decide, oops, I spent the entire winter putting on body fat, and now, miraculously, right this minute, I want to lose it all. And there are a lot of supplements out there vying for your fat loss dollars. And some spend a lot of money in advertising, and a lot of people fall prey to those that don't work, and some do work. And how do you know? I mean, if you just listen to all the advertising, they all work. But quite frankly, they really don't all work. My next guest is a listener. His name is Adam Fidler. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, I'm good, Carl. How are you?
Good. So first of all, how long have you listened to Superhuman Radio? Just curious.
I will say, I believe I started listening in 2012, and then I would listen every day for about a year, and then I went on a bit of a media fast. And so I want to say that pretty much 2012 to 2013, and then I've intermittently kept up with the show.
So now you pick and choose the shows that you want to listen to as opposed to listening to everyone?
Yeah, pretty much. It has nothing to do with your show. I love your show. It's just...
it's not my annoying voice.
No. No, I will say you sounded different when you called me to schedule the interview than you do with all the microphones.
So. Yeah, isn't that something? I know. I do sound different. Okay, so the reason that I have you on today is because we have promoted a weight loss fat burner patch for Age Force for some time now. And there are a lot of people out there who are skeptical about it. And in fact, we just gave away 60-day free trials. Everything was free. We just shipped them out to people with the understanding that the only thing we wanted in return was an honest assessment. We wanted them to use it and then report back, good or bad, if it didn't work or if it did work, because we want to get to the bottom of all of this, you know, to kind of assuage the fears that people have that, oh, you know, I've seen things on the internet posted about the Age Force fat burner patch, everything from it's just a Band-Aid, in other words, there's nothing in it, to, you know, this thing can't possibly work. It's impossible, even if what's in it is supposed to be in it. And just like Dr. Brad Schoenfeld and I were talking about a little while ago, that there's lots of good research out there done on things in a petri dish in a science environment. That kind of gives you a glimpse of the direction. Really, until we try this in humans and see what the results are, you know, you really don't have actionable steps. And so you were kind enough to come on and tell us honestly, you have used the fat burner patch, right?
Yes, I have.
How did you use it? When did you use it?
So, let's see. The very first time I used it was, I want to say, in 2012 when I started first listening to your show. And I think that was one of the older formulas. And I did their 30-day trial where you only pay shipping and handling or something. And I used it for about a month. And it was okay. And then the next time I used it...
No, wait. You said it was okay. You actually saw something. It wasn't like I didn't lose anything, but I got it for free, so no big deal.
Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't as good as their new formula the second time I used it.
Right. And
that
things have
changed,
yeah.
What's that?
I said, yes, things have changed about the formula.
Yeah, that was last year. I want to say it was from, like, July to September. That was 3 months, and that was the most rapid fat loss that I have ever experienced, and it was done at a time when I had actually cut down on my training.
Really?
Yeah, so what I was blown away. I don't know how to describe quite how positive the experience that I had with it was. I will say that I was using it every day, and so I was using essentially a 2 month supply in 1 month, basically.
Okay.
And I was doing a lot of other things right in terms of eating high quality foods. And that kind of thing, watching my lifestyle factors and all those things. And it drastically accelerated my fat loss. And when I really started to see results, so when I first started using it, I put it on my lower stomach because, of course, intuitively that's kind of where you want to lose the fat, and so
right.
I think that's where you should put it. And then I remember reading the label, and it said you could put it there or you could put it on your wrist. And so when I started putting it on my wrist, and I guess that just helps it get into the bloodstream a lot more directly and faster, that was when it really started accelerating. And I want to say that I went from about 183 pounds to 169 pounds in like 3 months. Like, it was pretty insane.
And you were training less?
Yeah, I was training a lot less.
Okay.
Now, did you feel anything when you put the patch on?
No, I didn't feel anything. I would say, so first of all, in terms of stimulants, anything like that, I wear it while I sleep, so there's nothing.
That was my point. A lot of people are afraid to use it because they're like, oh, if I put it on and it stimulates me and I take it off and it doesn't shut right off, you know, it's like in my skin already. So you don't feel overstimulated from it, right?
No, not at all. I wear it while I sleep, and I think I might even sleep deeper. I mean, it has no effect, you know, to a positive effect. What I would say is that I do notice an effect on my appetite, and that I am definitely not as hungry. And it's the type of thing where I can eat as much as I want to, more or less. I just need to remember to do that, because I'm just not as hungry as when I'm not using it.
Someone just posted there. So of the 50-60 day trials we gave away, and yeah. I apologize, I don't have his name in front of me, but I know he posted on my wall, or he tagged me in a post and said, this is day one and day two. I think he's up to day two. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that he did remark was, you know, he didn't expect to see any major weight loss in 2 days, but the one thing that he did remark was that his hunger was gone. Like, he doesn't feel like he has to eat. And that's because they added the Hoodia to it. And see, Hoodia doesn't work unless it's constantly being delivered. The reason that Hoodia was such a failure, so to speak, as a supplement is because they sold it in a pill. You took the pill, it had a momentary effect on you, and then it's Kevin Baker, actually. I'm looking at it now. And then it would wear off. But the Bush people that discovered Hoodia, the reason that Hoodia was even turned into a supplement was because these Aborigines would find the Hoodia plant and they would chew the twigs constantly. They keep them in their mouth like people chew chewing tobacco. So the Hoodia was constantly running down their throat into their gut and turning on the satiety hormones for long periods of time, which meant that Hoodia works, but it has to be being delivered over a long period of time continuously, which made it an ideal ingredient for the patch.
Yeah, you know, I really like the idea of transdermal supplements in general, because it allows you to kind of microdose throughout the day. And, you know, from what I've researched in vitamins, you really want to be doing that with a lot of these things. Even something like vitamin C has, I think, like a six-hour half-life in your blood and whatever. And you want to, it seems to me like you want to be taking smaller doses throughout the day. So I like the delivery system a lot.
Kevin Baker says, this was his second day of the Age Force Fat Burner Patch. He says, this is the very bottom of his post. It's a long post, and he's very detailed. Talks about his calories burned. He's using heart rate monitor to monitor. I mean, he's doing like a real in-home scientific test. Anyway, I fasted for 20 hours, and I have no doubt that I could have made it through the whole day. I wasn't hungry, and when I ate, I didn't see any need to go any further. But he says, I wasn't hungry when I did eat. He just didn't see any need to fast for any longer. So he went for 20 hours with no hunger, he said.
I'll tell you, I haven't even eaten today. I mean, I've drank some water, and I just realized that. And so it's that's the only kind of tangential effect that I've noticed from it, and I don't consider it to be a negative. Because you can eat whenever you want. It's just, like you said, the satiety signals are kind of, you know, affected by the Hoodia.
What about changes in body temperature? Do you notice feeling warmer from it? It does stimulate some thyroid hormone production.
Nothing? I haven't noticed. So I'll say that, you know, when I do, like, a big carb refeed, I think you've had John Kiefer on your show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I do the carb night diet, basically.
Right.
And which was his. And when I do, like, a carb night, it almost feels like you're on a drug where you feel yourself getting really warm. I don't really get that from the patch as much. There might be a slight increase, but it's not really noticeable to me in the same way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so are you using the patch right now, or are you still at your goal weight right now?
I am proud to say that I actually have two patches on my left wrist right now.
And how long have you been using them again?
So I just started using them last week, and I lost about three pounds in the first 5 days. And the really cool thing is that there's like a noticeable decrease in my abdominal fat pretty much as soon as I start using it. And I don't know how that happens, but it does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a myriad of ingredients in the fat loss patch produced by Age Force. And we hear this over and over again. Every now and then I have a person on who says, you know, I lost 16 pounds effortlessly. It definitely increased the fat loss I experienced this time around, blah, blah, blah. But there are so many people who are just skeptical. They think, oh, come on, how can that make you lose body fat? So to those people out there who are skeptical about its ability to help you lose fat and even maintain fat loss over time, what would you say to them?
Well, so my philosophy on supplements in general is make sure it won't hurt you and then try it. And if you're going to try it, find things that you can be very aggressive with and be very aggressive with them. So I take, like I said, I take a higher dose because I wanted to give it a fair shot and I want to see those results. And so what I would say is just try it. They're a great company. If you have problems, they'll help you out. I mean, every time I've emailed them, I've gotten a response directly back from the CEO, from Steve. So I would tend to trust them, and I would definitely say go ahead and try it.
In all the years they've been with us, we've never gotten a complaint about them. They have the auto ship. We've never had a person say, I canceled my auto ship. They billed me again. You know, I mean, they're just really a good, fair-handed company to do business with, and they make a good product, and that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I talked to Steve, and I kind of end up thinking, why is this guy being so nice to me? Because I'm just a general customer, but I think that's just the way he is.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's a really, know what? Steve's a family man. He's a consumer. He's just a good person. He has a good product, and he just wants people to try it. That's it. So, one thumb up, two thumbs up, your rating on the Age Force Fat Burner Patch.
I would like to grow three more thumbs so I can give it five thumbs up.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, listen, I want to thank you for making time. You received no compensation for this interview, right? We haven't offered to pay you anything, nothing like that, right?
No, in fact, to anybody who's listening, I should say that, one, I don't like most supplement companies at all because of the way they treat their customers, and Age Force is the total opposite. And two, because of how well they treated me, I was the one who contacted Steve and asked what I could do to help him spread the word about his products and promote him and that kind of thing. So, no, there's absolutely no financial compensation, anything like that.
Adam, thanks for being on the show today, and thanks
for
listening.
Thanks
to
so much, Carl.
All right, take
good
care.
Luck.
All right, so there you have it. We were giving away 50 60-day trials. If you were one of those people, you should have received your patches already. If you got in late, you'll probably receive a coupon that'll give you a substantial discount on the patch. And for those of you who are looking for something to help you, give you the edge on fat loss as you endeavor to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach this year, please give the Age Force Weight Loss Fat Burner Patch a try. I want to thank Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. Go to his website, lookgreatnaked.com. I want to thank All American Pharmaceutical for being a proud supporter of Superhuman Radio and all of the sponsors that support Superhuman Radio. We can't forget any of them because they all make this show possible. We try to deliver good information that you can use to improve the quality of life, strength, conditioning, longevity, nutrition, and so on. And we couldn't do it without our sponsors. So whenever possible, when faced with buying something from a sponsor of the show or a non-sponsor of the show, please patronize our sponsors. And that's the end of today's show. It's a little short, but we will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Tomorrow's first hour, the Blueprint Power Hour with my co-host Rob Regish. Make sure to tune in for that. See you tomorrow.